I have been given the privilege of the first proverb this evening. The reason for that is what all I wrote down and thought about, I didn't know if they could pick up on what I was talking about. So I asked them if I could get up and read it myself and have a little explanatory note every now and then. Proverbs, of course, is a very, very wonderful book, such as all books are, and all the teachings that God has put forth in His holy word. I didn't get to go to hardly any of the classes. I did make a couple, and I know each and every section that was taught, and there's just wonderful messages there for mankind and we as godly people. But as I start the book, started reading this, the very first six verses just came to me and says, you know, that's what I've always tried to do. Always tried to believe, and in my Bible studying and growing as a Christian and being able to say things and explain things that are in the Word of God, we need to understand. And that's what I understand. That seems to me that the way Solomon begins this book. So let's read the first six verses. Pay attention to them because that's where my thoughts are really coming from. Of course, the first verse says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then the purpose of this is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. To say these are some of my favorite verses, no. As I say, each and every subject of the Word of God has their outstanding values to them. But this came right down to me and are very important to me in my years of striving to understand and so on. So say these are my favorites? No. All are good. All are exceedingly high on my list as God's teaching, His guidance, His encouragement, simply uplifting in the learning we strive for in our godly life. Proverbs gives us God's instructions, how to deal with life, how to deal with practical materials and affairs of our lives, how to relate to God, how to relate to our parents, our children, our neighbors, our government. The relationship is shown in there very much, and so on. As it said in these first six verses, God brought it forth to us as mankind that no matter of the level of conception that we might have or that I might have, all mankind, age or place in life, we can understand and we can govern our lives by God's word. And that's so important to us. By God's will, we can understand. So as we're told, as it is told to us in the intro verses, studying and knowing the language in the book, we can distinguish between truth and falsehood, good and evil. We can perceive the words of understanding, to always strive to learn the true meaning of what God has said, to help us understand. And God will grant us the wisdom to overcome teachings and ideas that have been more of our own ideas than what God is giving us. What really struck to me is that, as I can remember at a very young age in my childhood, we didn't go to church, but mom and dad they believed. As is said many times, they believed and they had been faithful in church in earlier days. But they believed in the Bible. They believed in God. And they tried to live the best that they could that way. And I remember a lot of things that would somebody would do or something would be said. And Mom would say, well, that's not what the Bible says. And she'd quote one little verse. You know, there's what that means. And that means that they shouldn't be doing that. Well, through the years, you know, there's a lot of things that come up like that when you're talking, quote, religion with people. But as you continue to study and to study, you find that they're put in there and they're put into stories, their context. And you understand what that context of that lesson is, of what has been put in there for us. Follow it through from the very beginning and to the end and understand what is being taught and what is being said. And many times some of those false sayings that were quoted, as it would be, that's not what they meant at all. And so I learned that a long time ago as I really got into trying to be a Christian and trying to learn to teach and try to understand. And just as we have been studying the book of Genesis, you have to take that whole book from the very beginning and to the end to understand the whole context of the thing and God's building a people and how that all came about. You can't just jump out in the middle somewhere and say, well, boy, here we go. So that's what really struck me as in my life, trying to understand, trying to learn, and just as I have said here. So many scriptures sometimes are hard to understand. And without our godly fear within us, trying to understand them and no wanting to know, we understand that I'm not qualified to profit by any instruction that is given to me. But with our mind, our body, and our soul being possessed with the holy reverence of God, and with every thought within us being toward the truth and understanding, we will be in obedience in and to the truth. We, or I, will be in obedience in the truth. John 7:17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of his will. A good lesson to me is, compare spiritual things with spiritual. We don't want to take a scripture or a set of scriptures and try to equalize them with the way we live in our lives in the world and try to compare them. Go back and see who is the seed of all of this. It's God. So we need to compare spiritual things with spiritual. A lesson that is so plain before me is not to take Proverbs or any other teachings to make comparisons, ideas, or men's prophecies out of them. Spiritual is spiritual. We need to understand that, and we need to understand that God is God, and He has planned all of this. He has planned this understanding. He has given us that He has created within us understanding and knowledge that we can attain and use His word and understand wisdom. Wisdom is the key word to the book of Proverbs. So again, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is what we want to do. This is what I want to do. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge, and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an enigma, the words of the wise, and their riddles. That is our goal. That's my goal. And thank the Lord I've been able to do that many, many times through the years as I strive and continue to learn each and every day of my life.
Thank you, Will. Thanks, everyone who contributed to our service tonight. Thanks to everyone who participated in our class. I think over the last 18 months, we've had a pretty good class in Proverbs, and I really do appreciate everyone's participation. I've got a large volume to get through tonight, and some of you just wrote a reference, and some wrote comments with the reference, and so those that are just the scripture, we're going to read those and let them stand for themselves, unless there's something I just got to say. Otherwise, I want to give your comments as much time as possible that you have prepared for me. And I'm going to try and do them in order, but some of you put more than one on a page, and so that makes it a little bit tough. But that's okay. We'll jump back and forth a little bit. But I want you to open your Bibles and read along if you would, so that you might get the most out of it. Our first proverb that was given tonight was Proverbs 1:7, which goes perfect with the follow-up to what Brother Willard just went over. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you want to know what it means to be foolish, you'll learn it when you study Proverbs. If you want to know what it means to be wise, you'll learn that when you study Proverbs. If you want to know what it means to be righteous, Proverbs defines that for us. If you want to know what it means to be wicked, Proverbs defines that. And not only does it define for us what these things are, but it also tells us what happens when we live righteously versus unrighteously, wisely versus foolishly. And we're going to see some of that as we go through these tonight. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord and trust the Lord. In chapter 2, if you'd like to read along with me, I'm going to read the first, we've got 8 verses here. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Here's the comment, talking about God's Word. It gives hope to the lowly and humble. With wisdom come blessings and protection. God's wisdom is the true light, and man's wisdom leads to darkness. I don't have a favorite. I love them all. Very good. Chapter 3, verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. I don't think anybody here really enjoys discipline while it's going on, but I think as you mature, you appreciate the discipline that you received in your younger days. And of course, this is talking about the Lord's discipline, but we're going to apply it to regular discipline also. Here's the comment. When I read this verse, I think about how upset and offended we often get when errors and mistakes are brought to our attention. We should be glad for correction and remember how it leads to the hope we have of eternal salvation. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." The Lord and our fellow Christians correct us out of love, so that we can someday be with Him for eternity. Likewise, parents should also discipline and correct their children, not out of cultural obligation or because rambunctious children are offensive to others, but discipline and correct them out of love and hope for their eternal souls. If we delight in our children, we will teach them respect and submission to our authority given us from the Lord. Having my own children gave me so much more understanding of this passage and others regarding the discipline of children. If I was not taught respect, would I grow into an adult that respects the Lord? If I was not taught to submit to the authority of my parents, would I grow into an adult that strives to obey God's authority and follow His law? If I wasn't taught the forgiveness that comes with the love of family, would I be able to accept the forgiveness of God and resolve to better serve Him? It is always possible at any age to begin a relationship with God. But out of love for my children and concern for their eternal soul, I strive continually to effectively discipline them in a manner that brings them closer to dedicating their life to the Lord. Now, this next one is a little bit heart-wrenching. So I hope you'll help me as I try to get through this. And I want you to think about what it says and not be overly concerned with who wrote it, because it is anonymous and it was written to be anonymous. But we need to think about the person that wrote this, and we need to keep them in our prayers, okay? When a person has an addiction, they always have an addiction. It never really leaves you. But with time, effort, and prayer, the addiction can be controlled, and the urges will diminish, but it is always there. I'm addicted to pornography, and have been since I was in third grade. I have been clean for some time now, but it is always there, and I will never be free from the temptation of it. It is humiliating to admit this even anonymously, and is a shame to me. Even so, and I want you to turn to Proverbs 7 with me here in just a moment. Even so, Proverbs, the 7th chapter, was a help to me, and still is a help in fighting the temptation that pornography presents to me. I know there are others here that secretly suffer from this temptation, so I offer what is helping me. Now, Proverbs chapter 7 is one that we covered a lot of different times in our class, because it talks about adultery and the appeal and the temptation of adultery and how the adulteress tries to draw the person in. And that's exactly how pornography works. So this is a great set of verses to help us understand what a person might need to do to combat it. But begin reading here. I'm going to begin chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you were my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. And here's the comment. I have read this proverb many times. It is in the front of my mind continually, and it is my shield during my constant struggle. What a great example of how to handle temptation. For the person that has this type of temptation, these are the verses wisely that they have chosen to help them resist that temptation. All of us have different things that tempt us, that draw us away from God. What better way to help overcome that, then to find those verses in God's Word that you can recite, that you can remember, that every time that temptation comes up, you can go to God's Word in your mind to help you overcome that. Proverbs, thank you for that. Proverbs chapter 8, beginning verse 22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work, the first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depth, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before He had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. The comment, this shows the part the wisdom of God played in the origin of the world and how we were given everything man and all creatures needed to survive in His creation. 13:1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Our last class this past Monday was all scriptures pertaining to youth, and I think this was one of our scriptures, just reminding us of, if you can get it across to your child, listen to me, son. Listen to me, daughter. Quote him that verse. Maybe it'll do some good. Okay, Proverbs 17:1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. Be content, be happy, the comment says. Over in chapter 23, now here's where we're going to be bouncing back and forth quite a bit here. 23, verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. In other words, as the comment says, live in a way to make your parents and God proud. Chapter 18, 22. This is the one that every man in here, every husband, is going to wish, I wish I would have wrote that one down. That way when it was read, you could nudge your wife and say, I chose that one. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Very good. A couple people did put that down. So I got, I don't want to think of just one guy there. So there was a couple of you out there. So claim it if you want. 21:9. This is one that you don't want to say you wrote down. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. This is another one of those that Solomon wrote several times. We came across this in a variety of places. In fact, as the comment says here, this proverb is so important that it's repeated again in 25:24. Which, it says, leads me to my second proverb, which is 17:28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. And this, the comment is, maybe I should have just shared this one first and left it at that. I got to go all the way back to 3 again. I want to read verse 5 and 6 again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. What's best or what God's plans are for us, do all according to God's will. In 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, He will not depart from it. Some of these I think you'll find are very familiar to us. A great lesson for parents or anyone who has an influence on young people. And I like the way they put that. Not just for parents, but for anyone who has the opportunity to influence young people. 27:17. Oh, I'm sorry, that's 27. Let's see. Yeah, 27:14, I'm sorry. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing. And the comment is, sometimes we all need extra sleep. Don't ruin it for others. If there was just an actual time assigned to that verse, right? Then we can say it's too late. Okay, Proverbs 24, beginning verse 15. Lie not in wait as a wicked man against the dwelling of the righteous. Do no violence to his home. For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased, and turn away his anger from him. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise. The comment, don't try to repay evil. God has it all under control. We're doing good. Proverbs 14:3. There's kind of a theme to these here. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. 18:6. A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. I remember seeing that in junior high. The kid just would not shut up, and he ended up getting pounded for it. 19:29, not by me, but by somebody else. 19:29, condemnation is ready for scoffers, and beating for the backs of fools. And then 26:3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Whew, somebody's trying to send us a message here. And here's the comment. Ain't that the truth? I know this is more than one proverb, but they share a similar theme. You can quickly identify a fool by his mouth. Okay. Our last one before I offer the invitation. Well, I've got a few here, but let's turn to Proverbs 31. You can't really do this without reading about the virtuous woman. So we're going to read through this. Proverbs 31, beginning verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the way of her husband, of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. It's so poetic. So many times we just marveled at the poetry in these proverbs. The metaphors are incredible. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The comment is, it inspires me to be a better mother, wife, and shows there's so much a woman can do. It shows there is encouragement for women to do work, to prosper, and to help her family. Very good. I really appreciate everyone doing that. That's kind of a hard task, especially for those that have been in the class, because we've just had so many you could call favorites. I've got a few here that just talk a little bit about righteous living that I want to share with you. I'm just going to summarize them in 2:20 to 21. It teaches us, when it comes to righteous living, that the righteous will inherit the land, is the way it's put. The righteous will receive the blessings of God. In chapter 3, verse 25 and 26, it tells us that the Lord will keep you from trouble and from snares when you're living righteously. In 4:11 and 12, it says, the righteous, those who apply God's wisdom, that's going to help prevent them from stumbling in their life. In 8:35, it says, those who find God's wisdom find favor from God and from life. And in 10:16, it teaches that the wages of the righteous is life, contrasted with the wages of the wicked, which are sin and death. And then we come to Proverbs 11. You could make, I don't know how many sermons out of Proverbs 11, but I just want to summarize a few things here. Proverbs 11 is a great summary of comparison-contrast. And what I want to emphasize tonight in closing is, again, the benefits and the attributes of righteous living, of being right with God, of living a life of righteousness. The benefits are that the Lord guides us, that the Lord rescues us from death, that righteous living clears our path. We don't have to decide, should I do this or not, because we know the right thing to do is to go this way and not that way. We're rescued from trouble because of our righteous living. Helps us to earn a true reward. Leads us to life. Causes our desires to turn out well for us. And the fruit of righteous living is the tree of life. The attributes of the righteous will cause the city, it says, to thrive and rejoice. The righteous will keep silent rather than show contempt. The righteous know how to keep a confidence. The righteous are God's delight. The righteous understand that you're going to reap what you sow. And the righteous share their blessings. The righteous search for the good things. And the righteous will flourish like foliage. One more for us to read. 10:25. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. The righteous have an anchor in times of trouble. And ask yourself tonight, do you feel like your life is anchored in the Lord? The invitation song is Thy Heart Right with God? What a great invitation song to go with this lesson tonight. Are you being carried about, tossed to and fro by Satan? Or are you anchored in the Lord? If you realize tonight that you're falling short, that you've obeyed the gospel and you're a Christian, and yet you've allowed Satan to interfere with your path of righteousness that you're trying to live, pray to God tonight that, confess your sins, ask Him to forgive you, and He is faithful and just and to forgive us of, and forgive you of your sins, as it teaches us in 1 John. And if you need us to pray with you tonight, we'll do that. But if you're not a Christian and you realize you want that anchor, you want that steadfastness in your life, you want to be able to make the right decisions, and you realize that there's something missing, then you have the opportunity tonight to be baptized into Christ. As we sing this song, ask yourself, is my heart right with God? And if it's not, you have the opportunity tonight to do something about it. We encourage you, if you need to do that tonight, to come forward as we stand and sing this hymn.